Great. Welcome, everyone. This is David Corus, Board Chair. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 12:01 p.m., and I'll begin with a roll call in no particular order. Paul Hinch.
Here.
Carlo Leone.
Here.
Brian Thompson.
Here.
John Flores.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Grant Westerson. Parker Wise.
Here.
Tom Patton.
Here.
Larry McHugh.
Here.
Felix Reyes.
I'm here.
Thank you. Alexandra Dow. Not present. Judy Scheifel. Not present. Tom Gill. Not present. And Dave Perillo will be joining late. So, Andrew, just give a listen out for that so we can mark it at the time when he arrives.
Sure.
Okay. With a quorum, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is public comment. Andrew, please open up the line.
How about the minutes? How about the minutes?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Thank you, John. We will start with the minutes from our October 18th meeting, and I will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Getting a lot of feedback from someone on the board line. If you could mute your lines after a motion and second. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I heard a motion from John Flores. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Second by Parker. Any comments, discussion, or requested changes on the minutes from October 18th? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
David, I'll abstain because I had to leave early in that meeting and wasn't there for the full one.
Okay, got it. Noted. Okay, now, next item on the agenda is public comment. Sorry for that, everybody. Andrew, please open up the lines.
Sure, the public line is open. If there are any members who wish to speak, please press *6. To unmute your line. Again, that is *6 to unmute your line, and then please state your name.
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to speak.
Yep, go right ahead, Blacker.
So in regards to the agenda item where you're extending the agreement you have with OPM for the umpteenth time, I think that this agreement, it's a lot like the gross maximum price where, the project at State Pier, where you guys it's not going to be the last time. You set some arbitrary deadline that just you keep missing, and it just keeps getting extended and extended and extended. The costs to the taxpayer to support your organization every time you guys do this, we're gonna wean ourselves off of the need for this OPM support or whatever it is, and you never do, and it's kind of like the price just keeps going up, at State Pier. So I wanted to point that out. Hope that's not lost on the press. Hoping that Marlon Peterson or the Ulysses Haymond will touch on. Or illuminate to the board the unexpected problems that are, continued to be encountered down at State Pier. I hope that there's some discussion of the contaminated, fill problem that there was, what those contaminants were, verification that material was removed, some discussion of the cap material that is being brought in and isn't meeting the spec, you know, has been rejected. There's been some, there's ongoing disagreement about that material. Unexpected things like that, additional things that weren't in the plan, like that collapse down at the, all those obstructions you ran into down at the end of the CV pier, and everything that had to be removed, and all the extra material that's requiring, and all the extra time that's taking, how that's impacting the budget, a realistic, prudent, analysis of the impact that's going to have on schedule and cost. Hope the board is aware of those things. I'd also hope that the board might give some reaction, or that somebody would confirm. I've been told that Scott Bates, former chairman, the person most responsible for the failure at State Pier and the failures of the Port Authority, that he's leaving state service, whether anyone's going to make any comment on that, whether the press is going to report on that. So I'll just, continue to say that I think, bad judgment going on down at State Pier, ongoing federal investigations, ongoing Attorney General investigation, Contracting Standards Board. Anybody that attended that meeting last Friday knows that they revived their subcommittee and are going to, be aggressively looking into the reporting that the Mirror did on Kiewit awarding $84 or $87 million worth of contracts to themselves. And I guess the final thing I'm going to say, so that the board is aware, a number of people left Kiewit. There was Jordan Henshaw, and I'm told there was quite a few others. And what I'm being told is that a number of those people left Kiewit because they were concerned that they were going to get in trouble for things that were happening, for things that were being done at State Pier. I hope the board is concerned with that, is looking into that. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Any other members of the public? Reminder, it's *6. Okay, no. Moving on to the next.
I hear one more, David.
Okay, sure.
Could you please state your name?
Peter Olson. And I would like to know that, or I'd like to ask, what discussions are going on with Gateway as far as when they will take over and resume their involvement down at the State Pier? So I'll listen in to see if anybody talks about that. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda. Item 4 is the Executive Director's update. Take it away, Ulysses.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. I come to you today to provide a brief summary. And according to our staff, a brief summary of what has been perhaps one of the most productive quarters in the history of probably the CPA. Given the length, of course, of our agenda, I will touch on just the highlights of my report. But before I do, let me just summarize some of the work and items we are coming to you today and seeking your approval. We have prepared the Q1 quarterly report to the Office of Fiscal Analysis. That is coming before you today. We've also finalized two audits that were conducted simultaneously, the biennial state audit as well as the CPA's independent audit. We have also completed the CPA's annual operations and projects report and have for submissions to the legislative committees and the governor's office. We are also submitting for your approval the CPA's annual schedule of positions and total staffing levels. I have also negotiated and seek your approval of an extension of the MOU between the CPA and the Office of Policy and Management through the end of this fiscal year in June. We have also negotiated a joint stipulation and settlement agreement regarding the administrative hearing that was authorized by the board in reference to a New Haven vessel grounding incident by a Connecticut pilot. That is before you as well and has been negotiated. Moving on now to just the highlights of my report. Under the able direction of our finance director, bank reconciliations are up to date. The finance office staff has been meeting weekly with OPM on the state bond allocation Excel file developed by OPM to account for all deposits and withdrawals for prior years. We've also developed a draft electronic records policy and procedures based upon some of the new guidance that we have received from the state. I would like for the board to know that our finance office, which is only 1.5 staff, did a superb job in managing and orchestrating the voluminous responses to the state as well as the independent auditors. Moving on really now to the New Haven Harbor Navigation Project. The next step with respect to the New Haven Harbor Improvement Project is to execute a design phase agreement with the United States Army Corps of Engineers, which we anticipate will be in January of 23. With respect to that design phase cost, the cost of that design phase is about $3.1 million, of which the CPA is responsible for closely $1 million. However, in my report, the design phase is scheduled to begin January 15, 2023, not 2022, and will run through August of 2024, followed by the issuance of the solicitation package. Before the board today, however, is the design agreement with the United States Corps of Engineers for approval. We have good update information regarding Pier 7 Fort Trumbull, where a joint permit application was submitted to both Connecticut DEEP and the Corps of Engineers by GZA. And as of today, both port permits have been issued for infrastructure improvements to the pier. The Connecticut DEEP license was issued December the 15th, and we just received it yesterday. And the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers license was issued November the 4th of this year. You have my report update regarding SHIP Round 3 projects, plus the Connecticut Dredge Team, plus the statewide dredge study, and the Connecticut Pilot Commission, where we have also issued now the annual or yearly permits for 6 pilots. You also have the North Atlantic Port Association annual meeting report. And but we would be happy, and I would be happy really to answer any questions you might have regarding those reports. However, as in all of my reports, I enjoy probably the most reporting on some of the ways in which we are attempting to educate and enlighten our citizenry regarding the promise of the State Pier Project that I will also report on just later. On November the 2nd and November the 10th, we provided presentations and site tours of the State Pier Project to nearly 75 United States Coast Guard Academy cadets who are also majoring in government environmental policy and engineering, along with 4 of their faculty members as well. On November the 15th, I presented them to members of the Connecticut Tourism Coalition at its fall board directors meeting and general membership meeting to provide an overview of the authority's mission and key initiatives, focusing on the State Pier infrastructure projects in New London and the future port operations. Other presentations at the meeting included the Connecticut Port Authority, Senator Austin, and Senator Summers. On December the 8th, I moderated also a panel discussion focused on state and regional economic development coordination for the Chamber of Commerce of Eastern Connecticut's 22 Leadership Program. That is 2022 Leadership Program. The panel included representatives from Advanced CT and Southern Connecticut Enterprise Region, also known as Sector. It was an opportunity for me to emphasize the authority's role as a maritime economic development agency and the importance of interagency coordination in achieving regional and statewide economic development. That is the sum and substance of my report, especially given now the length of our agenda, Mr. Chairman.
Great, thanks, Ulysses. Definitely a busy period since our last board meeting on the broad range of stuff that the authority is involved in. Anyone have any questions or comments for Ulysses on his report? Okay, thank you. Moving on to the next item.
David, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Can I ask a question?
No worries.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
On Pier 7, Ulysses, at Fort Trumbull, what are the prospects for doing the work? Do we have any goals in mind when that would be completed, that rebuild of the pier?
John, this is Joe Salvatore.
Hi, Joe.
Pier 7 right now is still in the design phase.
Okay.
We're able to obtain two permits that will enable the Port Authority, the state, to move forward on the existing pier infrastructure improvements, which we don't have a final estimate, and therefore we have not gone forward requesting funding.
Okay.
The second component to the Pier 7 project is just off the existing dock, we need to install a mooring cluster or dolphin so that longer military vessels can be moored sufficiently.
Sure. Gotcha.
So we're still in the design phase. We're hoping this summer we can progress to a more detailed design and estimate to start those requests for funding.
And Joe, whose nickel is going to be funding that? Is it our nickel, or does it come out of our budget, or does it come out of DEEP's budget?
It would probably come out of the state of Connecticut's budget.
Okay.
Bond issue. But we would also look to see if there are other mechanisms to fund it besides the state.
Gotcha. One other question, Joe, and you probably can the best one to answer. I note that under ship round 3, that Guilford's gone ahead with the dredging project, even though we haven't gotten funds yet, we've gotten actual cash. Is that true?
That is obviously true. Yeah, it's a true statement. I did notify them that they are starting at risk.
Yep.
They're fully aware of that, but they have a need to dredge due to the shoaling.
Yep.
They're on a 6-year cycle, and this is the 7th year. So they have no choice but to dredge.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we hope that they won't be in jeopardy, and we laud them for going ahead and doing it, quite frankly. I think it's great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, John. Any other questions or comments on the executive director's report? Okay. Did any other board members, excuse me, joined since roll call? I heard a couple pings. Okay. Moving on to
David,
item five. Yeah.
Chairman, apologize. Not a board member, but Marlon Peterson joined.
Great. Thanks, Marlon. Hey. Moving on to item five, committee updates. We've got a lot of meat and potatoes here. First, starting with the Finance Committee, we actually don't have it on the agenda here, but before we go into the resolutions and the audit, I would invite Veronica to just give a brief summary of our monthly financials. We went through them in great detail at our committee meeting this morning, but I do want to give members of the full board an opportunity to ask any questions or comments of Veronica, if you have. So, Veronica, we don't need to go line by line, but maybe you can just give the headline and see if anyone has any questions or comments.
Oh, okay, thank you. I just wanted to point out that we are waiting for the deposit from the state for the sale of the Ford Explorer, and once I get that deposited into our account, I'll record it as revenues. Salaries and expenses are on track. Same as contractual services, nothing really that is earth-shaking, normal expenditures at this time of the year. I've also included a report on the core bond projects that we are slowly but surely moving into QuickBooks using the information that is in core to record the opening balances for each of the ship's projects, whether it be ship one or two, and also some old legacy system that were out there. We're starting to account for them in QuickBooks. And you will see in the report that I give in January, there's quite a few that were added during the month of December for the core. I've also included a breakout of the legal expenses, which shows internal expenses, external expenses, and the those that are related to projects. A board member had requested that I give a little bit more information on the subject nature of the legal expenses, which I tried to do. As you can see, the external is things like the FOIA request that we get in, and of course the pilot commission hearing, admin hearing. And I've also included a report from ACOM, the contract administrator, on the numbers, the latest numbers that they've given me on the New London State Pier construction project. Are there any questions?
Any questions from any board members on any of the financial reports? Great. Okay, moving on to item 5A1, and so this is the first committee item requiring action. I'm going to read the resolution, but I'm also going to describe as part of that some of the discussion that took place at committee, because there's a small modification that we're going to make to the quarterly financial report. So resolved that the Board of Directors authorizes submission of the Q1 quarterly financial report to the Office of Fiscal Analysis as required by Section 1-123B of the Connecticut General Statutes as recommended by Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee at its meeting held on December 20th, 2022 in the form attached as Exhibit to Agenda Item 5A. And before I ask for a motion, I'm going to describe the change that was made at the committee level. You'll see that the quarterly financials represent essentially activity against the various funds, general operations, core bond projects, and state pier project. In the state pier project, you'll note that the numbers were not adding up, and that's because the unencumbered anticipated soft cost budget was left out of the year-end balance. And so that number will be adjusted up by approximately $8 million so that those lines add up to the cumulative balance at the start of the fiscal year of $255.5 million. And so it's not a substantive change in the report. It's just recognizing unencumbered soft costs, unencumbered anticipated soft costs for which the funds are currently in escrow, so that those numbers add up properly as they do for the bond projects and the general operations fund. So with that, is there a motion to approve the quarterly financial submission to the Office of Fiscal Analysis?
I'll make that motion, David.
Moved by Grant. Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by John Johnson. Any questions or discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Moving on to the next item, 5A2 is going to be a presentation from our independent auditors, Cohen Resnick. We had a very good in-depth discussion at our joint committee meeting this morning, and we will have a truncated version of that, but we are very pleased with the outcomes of our outside audit for fiscal year 22. And with that, I will hand it over to Melissa Ferrucci from Cohen Resnick, or I don't know if Ulysses, you wanted to say anything leading into it.
No, Mr. Chairman, I think we should just go ahead and proceed with Melissa's report. Melissa?
Thank you, David. Thank you, Ulysses. Melissa Ferrucci from Cohen Resnick, partner in charge of the June 30th, 2022 audit for the Connecticut Port Authority. I'd like to start out by thanking the Port Authority team, Ulysses Hammond, Veronica Calvert, Lori Leffler, and Andrew Levine, as well as the Office of Policy and Management team, Kim Kennison and Simon Ying, for all of their hard work in completing this audit. We will be issuing this audit timely, which is as of the end of this month. For the meeting this afternoon, I will go over a high-level overview of the financial statements, discuss the required communications with those charged with governance, and review with you all the draft management letter. The financial statements for June 30th, 2022, we are issuing an unmodified or clean opinion over the financial statements. That our opinion is noted on pages 2 through 4 of the financial statement draft. The management discussion and analysis, which is on pages 5 through 9, highlights year-over-year activity and significant changes in that activity. The significant changes you'll find in this year's financial statements relate to the increased activity with the Harbor Development Project, as well as the implementation of GASB 87, the new lease accounting standards. In looking at the statement of net position as of June 30th, 2022 for the Port Authority, there was an increase in the restricted cash balance of $100 million, an increase in the capital asset balances of $100 million, and then in the addition of the right to use asset and the lease liability related to the land and track lease and the old Saybrook office. So those are the significant changes on the statement of net position. Significant influx of revenues from the appropriations from the state of Connecticut, as well as the Northeast offshore funding of the project. From a disclosure standpoint, the most significant differences in this year's financial statement disclosures relate to, again, the GASB 87 new lease accounting standards for the restatement of the 2021 balances, as well as the lease footnote has additional language and a future minimum payment schedule for that long-term liability that is now on the Port Authority's financial statements. In the supplementary information, we have a schedule of project allocations. The most significant change to this schedule this year is last year we had an asterisk in this schedule that the allocations between the project expenditures could not be verified at that time. This year we've removed that asterisk due to the work with that the Port Authority, along with OPM's assistance, in reconciling all of the prior expenditures by project. We are comfortable with that schedule now as it stands, as that has been reconciled as of June 30th, 2022. And the final report on internal controls over financial reporting and compliance, note no findings or material weaknesses or significant deficiencies this year. Last year, our audit reported one material weakness, which was related to significant journal entries that we had to do as a result of our audit procedures. This year, we received the final trial balance package in very good shape and did not, there were minimal audit adjustments as of June 30th, 2022. So we have removed that finding. Moving on to the required communications with governance, the Port Authority is in compliance with all ethics requirements, and our firm is independent as it relates to performing this audit. There were no significant risks identified during the audit. The significant accounting policies that were implemented during this fiscal year, again, related to the GASB 87 lease accounting standards. No significant unusual transactions. We have not identified or obtained information regarding any fraud during our audit. No significant difficulties encountered during the audit. We did not have any uncorrected misstatements. We've had no disagreements with management. We will obtain a management representation letter from management upon the approval of the audit and prior to issuance of the audit by the end of this month. And we did not consult with any other accountants regarding this audit, and there are no other significant matters, findings, or issues. The draft management letter is in draft form, and we have only one repeat management letter recommendation, and that relates to the invoice approval process. We've noted one isolated instance during our testing where an invoice was not approved prior to payment. This management letter recommendation is a repeat comment from last year and does remain in the letter, as we have found one insignificant instance where an invoice was not approved. The other two comments that were reported in last year's management letter were resolved, and that relates to there were no significant audit adjustments related to capital asset activity, and the state bond appropriations and project schedule has been reviewed and reconciled by the Port Authority and the Office of Policy and Management, as noted during the audit presentation. That concludes the presentation on the audit and the management letter. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thanks, Melissa. This is a great report, and I just want to commend your team for pulling it off in a timely manner, and certainly commend Ulysses and Veronica and the whole team at CPA. I think this report really represents a turning of the corner and an evolution that we've all been working very hard towards. And so it's great to see the fruits of those efforts bear out in a clean audit like this. Any comments, questions from any members of the board before we move on to resolve to adopt this audit?
Sure.
a nice change to not have a lot of findings that we have to talk about and ask questions about and understand what the implications are and what we need to rectify going forward. Okay, so I will read a resolution to approve and accept the audit, and I will entertain a motion and a second. Resolved that the Board of Directors accepts and approves the fiscal year 2022 audit performed by Cohen Resnick as recommended by the Audit Compliance and Governance Committee at its meeting held on December 20th, 2022, in the form attached as Exhibit to Agenda Item 5A, Subsection 3. Further, the authority staff is hereby authorized to submit, in accordance with the provisions of Section 11-4A of the Connecticut General Statutes, to the Joint Standing Committees of the General Assembly, having cognizance of matters relating to appropriations, commerce, the environment, and transportation, a copy of the audit. A copy shall also be submitted to the State Auditors of Public Accounts. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, David.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
I'll second
by, was that Grant? Great. Any further comments or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Melissa, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Item 5B is the next committee, Audit, Compliance, and Governance, which also met this morning on these topics and others with the Finance Committee. We have one resolution coming out of that committee meeting at the recommendation of that committee, the consideration and approval of the 2022 Annual Operations and Projects Report, which you all have as item 5B in your attachments. I will read the resolution, entertain a motion and second, and then discussion. Resolved that the Board of Directors accepts the 2022 Annual Operations and Projects Report responsive to Sections 15-31A subsection K and 15-31A subsection O of the Connecticut General Statutes as recommended by the Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee at its meeting held on December 20th, 2022 in the form attached as Exhibit to Agenda Item 5B subsection I, and approves submission of the report in accordance with the provisions of Section 11-4A of the Connecticut General Statutes to the Governor and the Joint Standing Committees of the General Assembly, having cognizance of matters related to transportation, commerce, and the environment. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Parker.
Moved by Parker, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by John. Any comments or discussion on the annual report of operations and projects? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, item 5C, I'm going to hand it over to Brian Thompson, co-chair of the Human Resources Committee.
Okay, hi, David. Thank you. The Human Resources Committee has met and reviewed the six-month performance evaluation for the executive director, Ulysses, and have that in front of us for consideration and approval. David, are you reading the resolution for these, or?
Oh, sure. I can do that. Sorry, I do have them right in front of me, so I can do that. Okay, I'll read the motion, entertain a motion second, and then we can discuss. Resolved that the Board of Directors of the Authority approves and accepts the annual performance evaluation of the Executive Director as recommended by the Human Resources Committee at its meeting held on December 12, 2022, as further described in the exhibit to Agenda Item Number 5C, Subsection I. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, John.
Motion by John. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Second by Grant. Thanks. Any discussion, comments, or questions?
Pretty incredible report. Pretty incredible evaluation. Very, very fortunate.
Great. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Brian, David, David, I have a question. Do we evaluate yearly or every 6 months?
So we do it yearly, but the first evaluation is 6 months after being hired. And so it's kind of coincidental that this six-month evaluation is happening at the same time when an annual evaluation would normally occur.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So the second item is the annual schedule of positions and staffing levels, which is presented for consideration and approval. And this is the same annual schedule that was approved last year. And so we are simply recommending its reapproval, with the potential that we could consider changes in the forthcoming year. Likewise, David, did you want to read that resolution?
Sure. Resolved that the Board of Directors hereby approves the adoption of an annual schedule of positions and total staffing levels for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023, as outlined in Section 5 of the Authority's Operating Procedures, as described in the exhibit to Agenda Item Number 5C, Subsection Double I. I guess I'll just note, one thing we talked about at the HR committee was sort of the timing of this. We have historically always done it in the fall, but it's kind of odd given our fiscal year and the fact that this applies to our current fiscal year. So we'll probably see this come up again in the spring for next fiscal year and try and sort of reset the schedule. So we're doing this in the spring rather than in the fall.
Yeah, good point.
Is there a motion to approve?
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Moved by Grant. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by John. Any discussion, questions, or comments? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, Brian, anything else from your report?
Yeah, before we leave HR committee, I will also mention that we have recently been discussing moving forward with the recruitment of an executive director, and we have reviewed the previous job description, the job description used in previous recruitment, and the committee felt that it was appropriate as written and didn't see a need for revising or updating it in any way. So we're proposing to go ahead with that job description. And we are working on putting together with considerable input from Dave Perillo, a list of outlets where we can advertise the position that would be appropriate for a maritime position. we'll be moving forward with that. We don't need any action on that at the moment, but we'll provide further updates as that moves along.
Great. Thanks for the updates, Brian. Next item on the agenda, item 6, is an extension of the MOU between the authority and OPM proposed to go through the end of the fiscal year, as we found that partnership to be to continue to be of significant value through this audit process, as we work to continue to build up our own staff capacity. This seemed to be an appropriate measure. Ulysses, I don't know if there's anything you want to say about it before I read the resolution.
No, that is exactly what I was going to say, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it's been valuable.
Cheers.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, resolved that the executive director is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the authority to execute and deliver an amendment to that certain memorandum of understanding, here and after referred to as the MOU, with an effective date of September 6, 2019, by and between the authority and the Office of Policy and Management, as amended, to further extend the end date of the MOU to June 30th, 2023, as described in the form attached here too as exhibit to agenda item number 6, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions as are reasonably required in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, David.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by John Flores. Any discussion, comments, or questions? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, item number 7 is Pilot Commission update, and Ulysses, I will hand it over to you.
Again, here is where we are. Asking for the rates for our pilots to be basically in line and in concert with those rates that are also the rates that have been approved in New York. There has always been a joint agreement, if you will, between the two, and New York has already set the rate, and every time this rate is changed, we basically will switch to the other state. And so this time it's New York's lead. The next time it will be Connecticut's lead. But we're asking for the board's approval. And this has been recommended by the Pilot Commission,
Pilot Commission.
The Pilot Commission, yes.
Yeah.
Great, thanks. I will read the resolution and entertain motion second, then we can discuss. Resolved that the Board of Directors hereby accepts and adopts the revised rates of pilotage procedures as published in the Connecticut Law Journal, Volume 84, Number 19, on November 8, 2022, as described in the form attached here too as the exhibit to agenda item number 7A. And I'll just remind folks that these will be in effect from 2023 through 2027, and that they were previously advanced by the board for publication, and this is now the conclusion of the public notice process. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion. I'll second
moved by, it. Was that John? And second by Graham. Any questions or discussion?
I guess the biggest question I have, and it sounds like Ulysses has already answered the question, we will remain competitive with New York on this on these rates, right?
That is correct.
Yes.
That is
okay.
Correct.
That's
yes.
That's really important, obviously.
Yes.
Great. Any other questions or comments? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Ulysses, item 7B.
Okay. In this particular matter of the joint stipulation and settlement agreement that actually involved an incident that took place in February involving a vessel, that was also piloted by a Connecticut pilot. This involves a grounding that took place at that time. We were represented in this matter by John Casey of Robson and Cole, and an administrative hearing was conducted by a retired maritime judge. Our counsel advises that this particular stipulation that I'm getting ready to outline to you is in line with what the Coast Guard would have recommended under similar circumstances. And then in this particular case, we also have a pilot who does not have prior violations. We have, and in this particular incident, there were no physical or personal injuries and also no property damage. With respect to the stipulation itself and the agreement, per the stipulated agreement, the Connecticut pilot's license will be suspended for a period of 1 month within 90 days, as well as the pilot will be required to take 40 hours of navigation and or ship handling training within the next 6 months. So that is what we're asking this board to actually approve at this time. And so, Mr. Chairman, I'll give it back to you.
Great, thanks. And I just want to commend the staff. I know it took quite a bit of time, but creating the hearing process from scratch, putting that infrastructure in place, hopefully we don't have to use it again, but now it's in place in case that we have to do so. This is a responsibility that we took on when we were established, and it was the first time that we had to work through it. Resolved that the joint stipulation and settlement agreement in docket number 2022-0001, dated December 1st, 2022, here and after referred to as the agreement, is approved pursuant to Section 4-177, subsection C of the Connecticut General Statutes, and Section 13B-17-140A of the Regulations of Connecticut State Agencies, that the interim executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to execute the agreement and terminate the administrative hearing, docket number 2022-0001, related thereto, and that the interim executive director is further authorized, empowered, and directed on behalf of the authority to take such further actions and execute any and all reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve the stipulation and settlement agreement?
So moved. So Parker.
Moved by Parker. Is there a second?
Second by Tom Patton.
Second by Tom. Thank you. Any questions or discussion?
One question I have, David, and Ulysses, maybe you can participate. What role did John Casey play for us in this, and how important was he to us?
This was a very important role, John. As the chair has also indicated, this is our first time actually establishing this kind of process. And when it comes to also establishing not only the documents, I also drafted some of the administrative documents that we now have. So anyone coming in and having to do and conduct this process now behind us, this process is now well documented, is all set in place. But John played a critical role in terms of legal counsel to us throughout this. He also was the lead negotiator of this agreement. And so when it comes to also drafting the notice of hearing and the citations, those notices of hearing and those citations have all now been drafted by counsel, and it was John Casey that led the way in that regard. So he has been a very, very critical and important player in this entire process. And as far as the administrative hearing was concerned, he also represented the CPA with respect to the administrative hearing.
Thank you. And I thought as much, and I thought that it should go on record that he played a really critical role for us and was really, his expertise was invaluable, I'm sure.
It was. Well, and it was. Very professional.
Thank you. Thank you.
I can't remember. Did we vote before you made asked that question?
Not yet.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next item on the agenda is State Pier Infrastructure Improvements Project Update. Ulysses.
Okay. Well, the New Line of State Pier project, ladies and gentlemen, is finally in the fourth quarter, and nearly 75% of the project has been completed. High levels of productivity and promise continue. We are either ahead or tracking on target in five of the six key construction areas. They are the uplands, the northeast bulkhead and heavy lift platform, the central wharf and south wall, dredging, as well as state pier combi wall or tow wall as is commonly referenced. In the uplands area, the drainage outfall structures, concrete pipe, water main infrastructure, and electrical duct bank installations are all progressing as scheduled. Anyone visiting the site today will see enormous transformation that is taking place at the pier as dense graded aggregate, or what we refer to as DGA, is the final surface and is being placed in a north to south orientation in preparation for the staging of offshore wind towers, nacelles, and other components. The construction of the northeast bulkhead and heavy lift platform is complete. What remains are items like installation of fenders, which just arrived last week, and the placement of that DGA surface that I spoke of earlier. Therefore, we are on target for achieving substantial completion by February 28, 2023. This is a major accomplishment for the project team and Connecticut. With respect to the central wharf and south wall, the central wharf is 90% complete. Final impact driving of pipe and sheet has continued moving from the east to west and in a consistent pace. And westernmost pipe pile are scheduled for final driving in January of 2023. Marlon Peterson, our AECOM construction administrator, will discuss this in further detail in his report, as well as the remaining work at South Wall. Speaking of South Wall, while still on target for completion this spring, 23, as we informed you at the October meeting, additional testing of the piles that comprise the anchor wall has confirmed a lack of tension capacity or strength within the soil, which requires an additional set of micropiles at the south wall and perhaps the annex. The engineer of record, Moffitt and Nickel, has developed a final design and layout of micropiles as well. Dredging of the turning basin, the delivery berth, and installation berth is in progress. This work began on schedule and at this time is scheduled to continue through the permitted dredge window, which closes January 31, 2023. Regarding the state pier combi wall, or tow wall as we refer to it, it is progressing in a consistent manner despite complications that require continued on-site resolution measures. Overall, the work is approximately 75% complete, with the balance scheduled to be completed in January of next year. However, the state pier platform work continues to represent the critical path for project completion this fall due to unanticipated obstructions and variable high rock elevation along the eastern portion of the 1,000-foot-long state pier. As highlighted in this report, it is an all-hands-on-deck time as we make the final push to project completion. While we cannot control what Mother Nature might have in store for us this winter, we have a few challenges as outlined. Nevertheless, the CPA, together with our entire project team, that is Orsted, Eversource, Kiewit, Moffitt & Nickel, AECOM, Siemens, Gateway, We are all currently working on the impending transition from construction completion to handover for commencement of vessel arrivals. We are collectively focused on achieving current plans for the South Fork Wind Farm, which include vessel arrivals at the Northeast Bulkhead and Heavy Lift Platform starting May 2023, and on-site staging and pre-assembly activities commencing in the Upland and Central Wharf. The entire team is also committed to achieving and realizing the amazing moment when renewable green energy generating turbines depart from New London State Pier in August of 2023. To support the South Fork Wind installation. What will it take to get there and achieve the final project completion this fall? Well, currently, a series of complex negotiations are underway regarding a fair and what I will call final path forward with the entire project team. Our goal is to bring to the board as early as next board meeting in January an amended HDA, CMR Amendment Number 9, and a final GMP for approval. The citizens of this great state have invested generously and deserve nothing less than our collective best efforts to making the New London State Pier the first United States-based heavy-lift marine terminal that will simultaneously accommodate offshore wind towers, nacelles, and blades, as well as other heavy-lift maritime cargoes. Our team's commitment right now is to provide you and the citizens of our state an achievable, fair, final path forward. I'm going to turn this over now to Marlon Peterson for a more in-depth description of where we are at this point in time. Marlon?
Thank you, Executive Director Hammond, and good afternoon, Board. Hopefully, I'm coming through clear. During the month of December, construction activity, as noted, continues in earnest in each of the major work fronts. Aside from the works noted by Director Hammond, deep excavations for new drainage pipe outfalls and electrical duct banks are in progress. As a reminder, contaminated soil was removed in 2021. Prior to the current state pier construction activities. Due to the deep excavations and consistent with our previous board approval, Connecticut DOT and its contractor, Cisco, relocated the on-site treatment plant to enable continuous handling and treatment of existing contaminated groundwater within the railroad parcel. This work is expected to continue for several more weeks until the below-grade utility installation is complete and the excavations backfilled. At that time, the on-site treatment plant will be closed and removed from the site. In addition to these site works, the project team continues to track the delivery of various electrical equipment, such as transformers, switchgear, panel boards, and disconnect switches, all of which are scheduled to continue arriving through the next many months. However, supply chains continue to throw curveballs that we, together with our tenants, continue to work through. Again, as described by Director Hammond, dredging of the basin, the delivery, and the installation berths are in progress. However, in November of 2022, the contractor suffered an equipment failure to one of its barges that did result in a release of dredge material into the main channel of the Thames River. Connecticut Deep, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Coast Guard were all informed. Subsequently, the material was removed from the channel, surveyed to confirm its removal. The equipment was removed from site, subsequently repaired, and moving forward with Coast Guard approval, the dredge equipment has been inspected and certified to regulation, and dredging is continuing, as noted, through the end of January. Moving over to the Central Wharf and South Wall, the westernmost pipe piles in the vicinity of the CVRR pier are scheduled for final driving in January of 23 or next month. Once the marine-based drill rig, its auger and hammer, complete the pile driving work at State Pier. In a similar east-to-west fashion, moving from State to CVRR, They'll be erecting the outer formwork for the concrete cap, setting the rebar cages, pouring the concrete plugs as that combi wall work continues. So if you happen to take a ferry ride or otherwise viewing the site, you will see the work continuing on a daily basis. Completion of pile driving, pouring of the plugs, concrete cap, all of which will facilitate the placement of the final fill material in that outer wedge, is scheduled to complete by April of 23. Both our CMR and our trade contractors are pricing and scheduling the additional micro pile and pipe pile works at the south wall anchor wall and at the annex or the northeast bulkhead transition to the south wall. Those two areas are currently being planned, priced, and will be scheduled for implementation in spring of 23. And we anticipate both will be incorporated into the Amendment 9/final GMP as highlighted by Executive Director Hammond. As also was noted at last October board meeting, pile driving at the State Pier has and continues to be challenged due to the existence of shallow and deep obstructions and the high rock elevations. In a bit more context for you, those obstructions have been encountered at elevations as low or at minus 20 below water, if you would, but they've also been extending to depths of up to minus 60 to minus 65. However, for reference, the minimum design depth for our pipe piles requires a minimum depth of minus 63 all the way down to minus 85. So as the rock elevation or the bedrock elevation changes, we need variable solutions to address the heavy lift nature of that platform. Our trade contractors are utilizing multiple means for removing or addressing those obstructions, such as items called down-the-hole hammers, chisels, augers, and drills. In locations where the high rock elevations have been encountered, rock sockets must be drilled into the bedrock to provide slope stability underneath the pier prior to the dredging of that berth pocket. Again, that's one of the unique characteristics, both at the delivery and installation berth associated with offshore wind. The requirements are five times the typical loading of a container terminal's 1,000 PSF. You hear us talking about 5,000 PSF. And once the project is complete, what we as the project team must have is a facility completed consistent with the design so that the engineer signs off on that lifting capacity, so that these unique components can be transferred from the land onto the vessel. Driving of the foundation or this tow wall is scheduled to complete next month in January of 23, where required the rock sockets will be installed and likely continue into the February or March timeframe. Again, we want to complete the State Pier so that equipment can then move over and complete the south wall and allow the balance of that fill material to be placed. Nearly complete. Moving over to the State Pier, its heavy lift platform, only 7% or 14 pile remain to be completed. Again, they have either been hung up or otherwise impacted by the obstructions and rock elevations. The driving of these piles is currently underway and will be completed in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Concurrent with the completion of this pile driving at the State Pier, the other works at the pier include welding of the shear rings within the piles, setting of the rebar cages and pouring of the concrete plugs, placement of riprap underneath the slope of the revetment, erecting forms for the subsequent installation of rebar, and pouring the 37 concrete beams that ultimately comprise the heavy lift platform. So as you can see, in each of the particular areas, staff, craft, and equipment are actively involved in order to achieve the objectives of the schedule as noted by the executive director. As of the end of this month, December of 2022, approximately $170 million will have been forecast to be completed. That ends the construction update for this month. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Ulysses. Thanks, Marlon. Any questions or comments from anyone on the board on any of that detail?
One small question, David. What's the definition of micro piles that we have to drive, and what is a micro pile, and is that probably going to be an extra, I assume?
And so we allocated.
Yeah, go ahead.
We At our last meeting in October and the amendment that we did at that time, we allocated several million to that task. And, you know, micropile, it's everything is relative, right? A lot of the piles that have been driven on the site are, you know, 4-6 feet in diameter. So these are much narrower and they're much more kind of focused and they're meant to bolster the ability of the H piles, which have already been driven, to anchor the tie rods, which hold in the combi wall that ultimately retains the fill. And so it's just a way of bolstering the H piles functionality. I can't remember their diameter off the top of my head. Maybe
it's not important. It's not important.
Yeah, but it's more like, it's more like a foot.
Do we have the micro piles on site, or are we waiting for them to be delivered?
They are in the process of securing them. They are not on site right now.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, and that's again with the resources that we allocated last in October for that procurement.
And do we know when the gateway is going to take over? Do we have an approximate date?
Yeah. So as Ulysses mentioned, we expect deliveries of components for South Fork to begin in the spring, and so it's sometime in that sort of March to May window.
Gotcha. So. May 23 or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks.
Yeah. No, it's on the horizon. It's getting close. And as Ulysses mentioned, I mean, the first major component of the site, the northeast bulkhead, is, you know, functionally complete, save, you know, some detail work. And so...
February 28th.
Yeah.
February 28th.
You got it.
Getting there.
It'll be here.
Other questions or comments? I'll just, you know, remind folks, I guess, for the board and for the public that statepiernewlondon.com has regular project updates, really detailed dashboards. I believe the next one should be posted within the next week or so. And it's a good place for ongoing current information about the status of the project and all its components.
What is it, State Pier something?
Statepiernewlondon.com, I think. Hold on. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Yeah, statepiernewlondon.com.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Any final questions or comments on State Pier before we move on? Okay. Next item on the agenda, item 9, is a resolution related to the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration Ocean Service Center. Ulysses, I don't know if you or Joe is going to give an update on this.
Okay. Yeah, this is an amendment to a reimbursable agreement that we have entered into with NOAA, and we've been in this agreement since March of 2020. And it is a system that provides maritime community, our maritime community, with real-time navigation information. The system consists of a water level station with meteorological sensors. And this agreement has already been funded, but I just need really the board's approval to actually extend and to extend the amended agreement.
Can you just say a little bit more about the funding, the amount, and the source?
Yes, the amount is $124,000, and that is over. I think it's a five-year period. And so this has already been funded by DOT. This was funded by DOT.
Right. So DOT transferred funds to us to cover the entirety of this time period.
That is right.
Great.
I will read the resolution.
So this is John.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
David. Just a quick question. So what does the amendment do? It shifts the time payment or what?
Oh, no. It's just an extension of time. It's an extension of time, and we are just a notifying them basically that we are still a part of this particular system.
Okay.
So David, just on the funding, why they're extending the time is because NOAA did not require the use of our funds over the past 3-4 years. They thought they were going to utilize it, but the maintenance was very low, and they were able to utilize existing funding that NOAA had. So rather than, do something else with the money or turn the money back, since this is very important for the Connecticut pilots navigating in the harbor, we decided to an amendment. Got it.
So we were given funds by DOT at our inception to cover 5 years of this. NOAA didn't end up needing our funds for the first several years. And so we're basically saying, okay, we still have those same funds. Let's push it out forward and we'll do it for the next 5 years and hopefully just keep stretching that same money as long as we can to keep these navigational aids operational.
Correct.
I think it's a real bargain.
Yeah, works out well, especially since they haven't drawn our money for the last few years.
Exactly.
Okay. Resolved that the Board of Directors of the Authority authorizes the adoption of the... Oh, no, excuse me, wrong one. Resolved. The Executive Director is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Authority to execute and deliver an amendment to that certain reimbursable agreement with an effective date of March 17, 2020, by and between the Authority and the U.S. Department of Commerce and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administrations, here and after referred to as NOAA, National Ocean Service Center, for operational oceanographic products and services as described in the form attached here too as the exhibit to agenda item number 9. And to take such reasonable necessary actions as are reasonably required in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So move.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
I'll second that. Thank you.
Second by Grant. Any questions or discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, great. Next item on the agenda is the adoption of our 2023 meeting schedule. It is consistent with this year. We have our board meetings every other month with a doubling up in the first of the year. So board meetings January, February, April, June, August, October, December. Finance committee meetings third Tuesday of the month second or third Tuesday of the month every month, and then audit, compliance, governance, and human resources twice per year, coinciding with the necessary actions of those committees. I'll read the resolution, entertain a motion in a second. Resolved that the Board of Directors of the Authority authorizes the adoption of the 2023 board and committee meeting schedule as described in the exhibit to agenda item number 10, which will be posted publicly on its website and filed with the Secretary of the State. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second.
Is that Grant? Thank you. Any comments or discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. The final resolution regarding the New Haven Harbor Improvement Dredge Project. Ulysses, why don't you and or Joe give a little introduction first, and then I'll read the resolution.
Okay. Yeah, Joe is going to give an introduction of this one.
Okay. As most of the board and the public have heard over the many months and years, the Port Authority was engaged with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to conduct a feasibility study what would be the appropriate depth of the main channel. The current federal navigation project is comprised of a 35-foot deep main channel and turning basin, 16-foot main anchorage, 16-foot Quinnipiac channel, 15-foot Mill River, and then a 12-foot West River channel. The main channel was last maintained back in 2014-15, roughly about 900,000 cubic yards of sand and silt. The deepening feasibility study evaluated channel depths from minus 32 feet to minus 42. It was determined based on economics that the optimum improvement depth was determined to be minus 40. Equates to a total cubic yardage of material of rock and sand to be removed of 4.269 million cubic yards. So this agreement in front of you sets forth a design agreement with the Army Corps. So the total cost of the design agreement with the Army Corps is $3.92 million, of which $980,000 would be the project sponsor, the Port Authority's cost share. The major design components that will be looked at as part of this portion of the project, analysis of the rock to be removed at the entrance channel to the harbor, ship simulation refinement based on specific vessel analysis with the Connecticut pilots participating, tidal marsh beneficial use placement at Sandy Spit, that's in the western part of the harbor, and then plans and specifications for dredging and marsh placement, hydrographic surveys, cultural resource investigation, value engineering, contract documents for solicitation. So a rough schedule of what will take place over the next couple of years. We're hoping to start this January 15th. We have the agreement in front of us. We have funding in place. And this should run to 2024. So that's basically what this is. It's a design agreement to design the actual project for bidding.
Great. Thanks, Joe. And I'll just remind folks, we have, via approvals from the Bond Commission, all the funding we need for the design phase, and we have authorizations from the General Assembly for the implementation phase, which we will bring before Bond Commission when necessary several years from now. I'll read the resolution, entertain motion second, and then discussion. Resolved that the executive director is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the authority to negotiate, execute, and deliver and enter into a memorandum of agreement with the Army Corps of Engineers for the New Haven Harbor Improvement Federal Navigation Project design phase, as substantially described in the form attached hereto, as the exhibit to agenda item number 11, and to take such reasonable necessary actions as are reasonably required in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion. Okay.
Moved by John, second by Grant. Any discussion or questions?
So this is, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is John Flores. I'm just wondering why on page 4 were the numbers blacked out? Article 3, bottom.
Yep.
Payment of funds.
Joe or Ulysses, they're sort of colored in.
That was the draft agreement.
So this was structured before the dollar amount was known, and we now know that the match for this agreement was, I think you said, just under $1,900,000+.
Yes, $980,000.
Yep, and I just got the executed version an hour ago.
So we will know the amount, that it's $980,000 to us.
Yes.
Now that is the amount, John.
Yes.
Okay. And Joe, where are we going to take four million yards of material?
Well, there's multiple different spot. A bulk of that material is rock at the entrance channel. That's going to be blasted and brought over to one of the jetties.
Okay.
To the west.
Yep.
Some, okay. A fair amount of the clean sediment is going to be used to create a salt marsh over on the West Haven side.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Some of the material that is clean is going to go out to one of the disposal sites in Long Island Sound to cap an existing disposal site to put clean material over that, sort of a restoration. And some of the material is going to be used to establish or reestablish shellfish beds within the harbor.
Awesome.
You want to raise the elevation of that shellfish area so it can be cultivated.
So do you want to fill in the amounts in this so that we can pencil it in on the copy that we have here?
Here are the amounts here. So Article 3, Payment of Funds, as it reads, number letter A, as of the effective date of this agreement, design costs are projected to be $3.92 million, with the government's share of such costs projected to be $2,940,000, and the non-federal sponsor's share of such costs projected to be $980,000, which includes no creditable in-kind contributions, and the amount of funds required to meet its cost share projected to be $980,000.
Okay, so we're responsible for $980,000.
Yes. And I'm sorry, I didn't get what you said. It says in-kind contributions projected to be how much?
$980,000.
Okay.
It's saying we're not getting any credit for any in-kind contributions. We're responsible for our entire match in cash.
I got you. Right. Okay. Thank you. And the last blank, cost for betterments are projected to be? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm reading.
I'm sorry. This is the last sentence.
It's $980,000.
Okay.
I mean, cost share projected to be $980,000.
Yeah, I got that. But the next sentence, it says cost for betterments are projected to be, that's a
$3,900,000? No.
No, it's the same because it's not less any in-kind contributions. I think it's written to contemplate if there were additional funds and to break them apart. But so it's the same number both times.
Okay. I got it. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, let's get out of here. Close to 1:30. We got just a couple quick items. In old business, we do continue to work towards transitioning to a hybrid meeting format. We want to have our first two meetings in 2023 in Bridgeport and New Haven, and so we're working with those communities to get some updates on their harbor projects and economic development and activities, so we'll have some information about that soon. I think we will continue to provide a remote option, though, so that we don't rely on everyone coming in person. Ulysses, do you want to talk about ethics training for February?
Yes, just wanted to tee this up in terms of the fact that we normally have ethics training by the commission, and so the staff of the commission will be available to us in the February board meeting. So I just wanted to highlight that and give everyone a sort of a heads up that we're looking to put this on the agenda for February.
Great. Anyone else have any other old business? Okay. In new business, I just want to remind the board and any members of the public listening in that our annual public hearing will be held this evening via teleconference at 5 p.m. And we hope folks show up and make comments on anything related to our activities, mission, what we did last year, what we're going to be doing next year, and share your thoughts. Any other new business?
So, David, are we expected to attend the public hearing?
Yes, we would like to have a quorum of folks calling in to the public meeting in order to listen to public comments.
I'm sorry, I can't make it.
Understood. We did poll the board, and we're confident we'll have a quorum. So understood. Okay. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
By John, is there a second?
Second.
Second by John Flores. And John, I'll make note that this is possibly your final meeting, and want to thank you for your representation of the Treasurer's Office. As I mentioned this morning in our committee meeting, you've been our most consistent representative of that office, and your input has been invaluable, certainly at the board level, but particularly at the committee level. So thank you for everything you've contributed.
Thank you. I enjoyed working on this board and working with all of you.
Cheers. Thank you. Okay. Meeting is adjourned at 1:33, and look forward to talking to most of you again this evening at 5. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you, David.
Thank you.